Welcome to this podcast of KUOW Speakers Forum. I'm your host, John O'Brien. In this week's episode, what harms does a community accept? And what would you do to stop unacceptable harms? That was the topic of a Humanities Washington Think and Drink event, The Necessity Defense, Climate Change, and Civil Disobedience. We're bringing you a portion of the conversation here. You can listen to the full event on our website, kuow.org/speakersforum. KUOW's Ashley Ahern served as moderator. The panel included activist Abby Brockway and UW professors Richard Gammon and Megan Ming Francis. Bree Ripley recorded their conversation at Naked City Brewery on February 17th. Here, Ashley Ahern opens the discussion.
To be clear, I am not promoting or discouraging civil disobedience. I need to say that because I will. Like, I'll be out there covering Abby on the tracks, but I'll also be interviewing BNSF Railway about how much it's disrupted their business. That's my job, and I take it very seriously. So I'm really appreciative of everyone in this room, but I need to be clear about, you know, my role as the journalist in covering this. All right. So I think that... climate change changes everything, as Naomi Klein wrote, right? We live in dangerous, very different times that some believe necessitate a specific type of action, that no longer is it okay to be waiting for the permitting process to play out for some of these proposed facilities, because permitting is a term that we use to indicate that a permit will eventually be issued. And I think Abby was somebody who first kind of explained that to me, that the process felt somewhat broken, and so people were needing to kind of make a stand, I guess. There was a morning, I want to just talk briefly about kind of, so in the 5 years that I've been working this job, as soon as I came on in 2011, we had 6 proposed coal export terminals in the region. And now, since then, we've seen the coal terminals sort of drop off. We've got 2 left and 1 sort of like staggering along in Port Westward, Oregon. And then we also have oil terminals on the rise. And so it feels like a big game of who's on first for me most days when I come into the office in terms of where is that proposal? What point are they in the permitting process? But point being, there's another one and another one and another one. And one morning I woke up, meanwhile, so as we've watched, you know, the oil trains have started moving to the existing refineries in Puget Sound from the Bakken oil fields of North Dakota. And now we've lifted the ban on crude oil exports, which kind of changes the game even further. Those oil trains are already rolling through our city. And I woke up one morning 2 years ago and checked my phone for the news, as I'm sure everybody in this room probably does. Maybe I'm just the only weirdo. And a train had derailed in Interbay, in the BNSF railway yard in Interbay. And at that point, we didn't know what had happened, what was spilled, what was the risk. And so I rushed down there to cover it. And in my mind, I was thinking, oh, my God, this is our Deepwater Horizon moment. This is our Quebec oil train explosion moment. I didn't know at that point, and I was so worried. And Abby actually had a very similar experience that morning in hearing that news. And so I wanted to toss it to you now, Abby. What made you chain yourself to the train tracks that day? What was the moment for you?
So when you speak about the proposals in the Northwest, I very first started. I'm new to this activism stuff. I'm a mom. I'm a small business owner, and I feel like I'm an unlikely activist. But there does seem like there's a breaking point for everyone, or something that snaps where you just can't accept things anymore. So when we were commenting with the Cherry Point Terminal at the convention center, and there were thousands and thousands of people, and the testimony was amazing, and you know, I felt like we were winning this. With our comments and our power, to realize that that was not all we had to do. You know, like I felt like, okay, that should be shut down immediately. We said no, we don't want that. But there's a song and dance that happens where there's adaptation and mitigation. So the Lac-Mégantic accident that happened, where some brakes failed and the train went down and vaporized, you know, 47 people in Quebec, happened in 2013. And 1 year later is when this Magnolia derail happened in the Balmer Yard. That was a mile from my daughter's school. And that really hit home to me that, you know, I wasn't being protected by the agencies that were created to protect the people. The Department of Ecology is created to protect the people, but actually that Department of Ecology has been pressured and co-opted by business, and their job is to do adaptation and mitigation and keep jobs coming. It doesn't matter if the jobs make sense, if it actually harms our snowpack and our other industries, if it what happens. So we're just saying yes as best we can and making people feel like they're involved in the process. But when we should have clear wins, when thousands of people turn out and, you know, scientists, these people that are commenting are lay people and experts, and two-minute comments and all these things are not happening. So when that derailment happened so close to my daughter's school, and just feeling that fact that this is out of control, these agencies that are designed to protect us, even our politicians going to a lot of council meetings, you know, Nick Licata said, I wish there was more we could do, but all we can offer is, you know, these declarations. And taking those to these hearings was not enough. Like, the politicians wanted to do more. Every representative that I wrote, you know, wrote me this policy, friendly policy thing, saying that they were on my side or they were concerned and they heard me. But I didn't feel heard at all. And I definitely feel like looking at our history and how things are actually changed, I felt like I was absolutely enforcing the law instead of breaking the law.
And so the trial is wrapped up. What was your takeaway from the trial, Abby?
You know, one of the takeaways was that I had to ask myself, what does it mean to be a citizen? What does that really look like? And understanding what it means to be a juror and the confusion for a juror member to say, wow, everybody in that room that heard the trial, experts, were convinced and moved that we were actually committing a crime that was not as large of a crime as what is happening in this state, and that it was necessary for us to do this. But they had to follow these instructions that were given by the judge. And I realized that you all are potential jurors. We all are potential jurors. Tomorrow we could be called for the next trial. And we're representatives of the community. And to not understand what it is to be a juror, what it is to vote, what it is to fully participate, we're not taking all of the power that we have. So it's actually educating people of what it means to be a juror, that you are actually a representative of the community deciding what harms are acceptable to the community. They all, in the hallway afterwards, we talked to many of them, they wanted to acquit us, but they didn't know if they could or not. And they have that power. They just didn't know that they had it. They wanted to follow the instructions. And you can't unring the bell. After they heard that the expert testimony, the judge had to tell them, you heard that expert testimony, but I'm telling you that you have to unhear that, that you can't apply all that you heard. And so that was really confusing to them. And the judge felt like he had his hands tied and was not able to say to them, just give us necessity. So he felt like there wasn't legal precedent. So the Delta 5 are going for an appeal to try to put this brick in the road for other people that are going to follow us. We hope to inspire people. We hope that the brick is laid so that the pathway is there, because really the judicial system is our least corrupted branch of government.
Basically to enable the necessity defense to stand next time so that when experts like Richard Gammon make their testimony, it stands as supporting that argument.
Absolutely. And like I said, it's in, we have appealed. And so we are hoping, I mean, what my prayer is that it does go to the Supreme Court. I mean, really, this needs to be talked about and addressed. You know, I mean, we have to dream big. We have to think we can make a difference.
That's it for this podcast of Speakers Forum. You can hear the full version of this talk on our website, kuow.org/speakersforum. Thanks again to Bree Ripley for our recording. Tune in again soon.